This is Father Ted, and you are listening to the Bunker Jiu-Jitsu Podcast.
Okay, we're back again. Welcome back to the Bunker Podcast. I'm Father Ted, and today I have yet another police officer because, you know, apparently that's the only people who do jiu-jitsu in Toronto. And I think my friend here, Jose Arias, I think, are you the fourth? I think maybe third or fourth on the podcast.
I think the fourth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're the fourth, and we've only done like 13 episodes. So that's hilarious.
Probably the first veteran. Probably the first veteran.
That's, well, we'll get into that. Yeah. So that's good. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. So Jose Arias, he's a good friend of mine. We've been training for quite some time together, although now we're at different gyms, both of us actually, from our original kind of our original home. But we've known each other for, I think, about almost maybe 4.5-5 years. And of course, his wife, Amanda, as well, who's also a police officer, who also trains as well in jiu-jitsu. It's great to have you on the podcast, Jose.
Thanks, man. Well, thanks for having me.
Looking
forward to it. See what happens.
Yeah. So, you know, as you know, you've been listening, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, what you do for a living, even though I already said it, you know, and maybe, you know, how you got into jiu-jitsu.
So a bit about myself. My parents fled Spain during the Franco dictator. This is probably in the 60s. Then came to Canada, lived in Montreal, then moved to Toronto. I grew up in one of Toronto's public housing in from 1983 to 2004-ish, of gang violence, all that stuff. That changed my perspective on what should I do with my life. And I figured, you know, there's a lot of chaos and negativity. I figured, you know, try to do the best thing and be a police officer. So I went that route. Before doing that, you know, other than numerous jobs, I joined the military in 2001, just before 9/11. 9/11 happened. I was like, oh, looks like I'm going. So I did. Went to Afghanistan. Joined the police service in 2006. I was a court officer, and then I went to Afghanistan in 2008 to 2009. Came back, became a police officer in 2012. Been doing it since. Went to jiu-jitsu just, I'd say, in 2018, once my daughter was born. Always wanted to get into it. I just didn't know there were any locations in the area. I was in Maple at the time, and a friend of mine recommended Joel's place in Maple, the Vaughn location. So I started, and that was like 5 minutes from my house, which was great. And then he shut that down and went back in Toronto and continued going there. Was been going there for about 2-3 years, give or take. And then the travel time was long. So I had kids and I just wanted to tend to them. So there's a place I found out. It was in Aurora, and it was 5 minutes from my house. So I was like, okay, it was more just location to being more of a father in my kids' lives. Sure. And while they're still young. So that's why I went that route. And then I've been doing it since. I'm addicted to it. I love it. I can do it all day, every day.
Sure. And so now you are, what's your current rank?
In jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm purple belt, three stripes. Or I like to joke around, three Dan, purple belt.
Nice.
But yeah.
Yeah. Now, when we met, you were a blue belt. So yeah, it's been a
yes.
So you said that you were like, you were a court officer first, and then you went and then you joined the army?
No. I was already in the military. I joined while I was in high school. I did all the reserves. Cool.
That's what I want to clarify.
What made me join it? Yeah, I saw a poster. I was looking at a co-op program, and then, you know, the teacher's like, what do you want to do? And I saw the poster of guns and explosions. Like, that looks like fun. I'll do that. And then I did it for 14 years. And then, yeah, it was good. Yeah.
So you were like, you were active. So 2001, you were active from 2001. Okay, 9/11 happened. When did you deploy the first time to Afghanistan?
I only went once. I deployed in 2008. So I joined police service in 06. Then there was an opportunity to go for workup training in 07. So I asked, where can I go? And they're like, yeah, you can go. So did the paperwork for that. And then I was gone for about a year, just workup training. And then I was gone for about just over 7 months. September 08 to I think it was May, April 09.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so I didn't know you could be like you could do dual. Like I didn't know you could be active in the military and also be in the police service at the same time.
Yeah, I was going to join full time, but I got hired by Toronto and then I just didn't the money was good, so I was like I went that route. So
sure, yeah. That's okay. It's a good experience, right? Like I never did the military. I did Army cadets when I was a kid. But that was also like a really good experience because it's under the actual Canadian Army as well, right? So it's like a subsidiary.
Yeah.
So the training is even though you're young, the training is very similar, and you get introduced to a lot of the basic training and things like that. So I did that for 2 years. But that was like really early high school, right? And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
The only reason why I stopped was because, you know, like you get into high school, you start playing football, you start doing other things, and you're either going to dedicate to do one thing or you're going to dedicate something else because it's a lot of work, right?
And that's basically it, yeah.
Yeah, but I spent like 2 summers up in Borden. I really enjoyed, I just enjoyed the culture. I enjoyed I was on the rifle team, did all that stuff, you know? So like, it was a good experience. So did you find that it was mostly a positive experience for you, like to be in the military?
Yeah, it was like the culture was really good. Like, ball busting and just making fun of each other. We see what we can get away with without getting caught or getting in trouble. And if we get in trouble, how bad is it? And just make jokes about it. It's all about morale, right? So like, it's a us versus them mindset, right? So, you know, they'll tell you do something bad and you have to go in there smiling, because if they see you upset, they're winning. If you go in there smiling, it's like, nah, you're winning, right? So that's the game.
Sure.
So I got in trouble a lot during basic training because I was always laughing. I mean, the remarks they would make and the insults. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a comedy show. It's hard not to laugh, right? So I was always getting in trouble for laughing. Like, this is not funny. I'm like, well, to me it is, right? Like, so stuff like that. A lot of push-ups.
Okay. So when did you meet your wife, Amanda?
We met in... I think it was 2007. I was just about to head out for workup training. We met online when Lava Life, when it was just it was silly and stupid. Now everyone's doing it. We were just supposed to be a summer fling because I was gonna be, you know, being deployed. I was gonna be gone. And it's like, what are the odds of this kind of working out? And 18 years later, we're still at it.
Yeah,
so kids, so
it's crazy. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I think that's the best way. Just like, there's no pressure. There's no, just like, you know, she's an awesome person. And, you know, I just like that positive environment. And she's just, you know, it just worked out so incredible. So
it's also a good test, right? Like, if you can meet somebody and then also the relationship stands the test of like long distance for a while, it's a good sign. Like, you know, there's a connection there. Like, I met my wife young too. I met my wife out of high school. But, you know, it's like go through school. All the stuff you got to go through. So really dating for like 7 years, but then I had to go to New York. I was like away for 2 years to do my master's. Yeah. So a strain, right? It's like I got engaged and then I went away.
Oh, nice.
For school. Right. And fourth, but like, it's hard. Yeah. Right.
No, absolutely. It is. Yeah. Like I remember when I was overseas, like, you know, we had a sat phone, so we'd talk and stuff like that. Like I try not to call every day, because the one time I don't call, I don't want them to get worried and stuff. So I'd call random days kind of thing. And one time I called and like, you know, we're getting rocketed and I'm like, I gotta go. This is like, shit. Oh, sorry. I don't know if I can swear or not.
But that's okay. Don't worry.
So stuff like that. So things like that. But yeah, I mean, it does put a test to, I guess, the relationship, right? And it's just like, you know, you just kind of put all that work in so that you can, you know, go back home to the person you care about, obviously. Right. And you're like, from guy's perspective is like, we're all like trying to, prepare for the you know, for the end goal, basically, to, you know, prepare for life and getting kids and all that stuff. So we're always working hard at first so that we can relax later, kind of thing. So that's why. But so I guess it's that mindset. But
sure. So you came back like after you deployed, like you came back after a year, you said, like approximately a year away.
Yeah, I was gone just over 7 months. Like 7 months, like 4 or 5 days, whatever it was. But I came back over there. My tour was about so they dropped us off in a police station in the middle of nowhere and just said, see you in 7 months. And so outside the wire is what, you know, most people would say. They made a movie about it, but it's called Hyena Road. That's the road we lived on. So it was on Netflix, but now it's on YouTube. So people can watch it, Hyena Road. Canadian movie, good movie. We had a lot of close calls. Actually, my faith strengthened because of that. There's like I was agnostic. Well, I was raised Catholic, became agnostic, and then there's a lot of close calls I had where it's like I should not have been here, and it's just like it changed my faith and to more like just more devout, I guess, more just believing in something. There is an afterlife, right? Because I was on that edge where it's like, is there, isn't there? I'm always questioning things, so that definitely
Sure.
helped a lot.
Well.
And then came back from Afghanistan. I was off for about a month. Coming back, I had to work. Asked me to see a psychiatrist before I came back. It's a lot of PTSD. I get it. Supposed to see the psych 3 times. After the second time, she's like, "I don't need to see you again. You're fine." So it's like, okay, it's nice to hear. And then I went to work, and then back in courts, and then about a couple years after that, joined the police service. Well, as a police constable, and then been doing it since.
Nice. And you enjoy that too.
Yeah, I do. It's very political, very frustrating, but I'm trying to put bad guys in jail, but it seems like the courts don't want to. So,
We
but
see this in the news, especially
we
lately,
go
right?
down that rabbit hole if you
Yeah,
want.
well, you know, it's I think it's self-explanatory these days, right? Like it's like what are they like they bust out those guys with all those how many kilos of cocaine or whatever and they just let them out like
I know. So frustrating.
Yeah, we shouldn't be laughing about it. It's like it's just yeah, it is what it is.
Well, yeah.
It sucks. It sucks for the people who like yourself, who like and your wife, who you risk all these things. You put yourself in danger to keep the streets safe, and then it's like, oh, I did all this, and look, the person's out, like literally the same day. And what was the point of that, right?
I know.
Well, hopefully
Things
that
change,
will,
right?
yeah,
I
exactly.
tell people, members of the public complain, I just say, you know what? You Canada got what they voted for, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, we always get what we vote for. That's what you get in democracy, right? Like you
And
vote
that's
and you get what you want, and sometimes you didn't realize that that's what you wanted,
it.
right? It is what it is. But okay. So then you came back. You got married with Amanda. How many kids you got?
We have 2 kids, boy and girl, Athena and Hector, both Greek names. We're not Greek, but we just like Greek
That's
history. But
okay.
you hear Hector, a lot of Spanish boys name Hector. So it's like, oh, but we looked it up. Like, actually, no, it's Hector of Troy. So stuff like that.
Yeah,
So,
from the Iliad. Yeah, from Homer, right? Yeah,
So it's
and
pretty cool,
Athena
right?
is pretty about as Greek as you can get.
exactly, right?
That's okay, Well, Jose is John, right? In Spanish, is it not?
Jose, well, no, it's like it's derived from Joseph.
Oh, it's Joseph, not John. Joseph, that's the one.
Juan
Juan is
is
John.
John.
Correct, correct. My fault. I should know that. The other, well, Juan. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so Joseph. Sorry, so Joseph, which is not a
My nick
Greek name.
yeah my nick well my nickname overseas was Dirty Mexican, so
Oh, that's
yeah, well, I mean, like the amount of nicknames you get, it's like I said, it's all about the culture, right? Everyone had a nickname, so.
yes.
But
I'm from Spain, but sure, like,
exactly,
couldn't they
right?
call you
So
like the bullfighter or something? Like,
no, well, it all came from we're doing workup training in the States, and they used a lot of the the actors, the Mexicans as actors. And so there's one scenario where, our interpreter dies. What do you do? So I start talking to them in Spanish, and they're like, "Hey, I didn't know you spoke Mexican." I was like, "Well, it's Spanish." And they're like, "Well, not anymore." And then from there, Dirty Mexican, right?
That's so funny. That's great. All right. So then you got married. So that when did sorry, what year did you start jiu-jitsu?
Around 2018,
Right before
so I was
COVID.
living,
Like a year. Okay.
2 years. Basically, I joined, I think it was like f January, I think, January 2018. My wife was pregnant because our daughter was born on March, but I just started training jiu-jitsu. Did it for about a month, and I was addicted to it. And then I just kept going and just getting smashed. It's like, this stuff is amazing. Like, I'm getting beaten up, but it feels so good, right? it's just weird. I'm always giggling when I'm it's like a game of tag. You know, who's gonna, you know, tag the other person out, right? So that's the way I see it. So I'm always laughing, right? Because you can tell when it's about to happen, you just kind of resist, defend. So I'm always having fun at it. You might as well, right? If you're getting destroyed. So then been doing that, and then I couldn't believe how effective it was for work, where controlling suspects and things like that. There's been plenty of times where, you know, people are like coked out or, you know, some sort of drug and having mental health crisis, and you're just trying to kind of restrain them. And they're freaking out and just controlling them, you know, talking to them. It's just like no one has to get hurt. No, there's no punches are being laid or anything like that. You know, I'm not breaking hands or anything like that. They find, you know, paramedics, or we're taking them to the hospital, all that, and all of a sudden, you know, they calm down. It's like no one got hurt. It's like, yeah, it's like a superpower kind of thing, right? So
Yeah, sure.
I keep pushing everyone at work. I was doing a lot. At one point, we had like our atrium was just covered in mats, and everyone was just training. I just kept pushing, guys. Everyone needs to train. Everyone needs to train, and then it's been working out. Then COVID hit, and then that went back to square one. And I'm not trying to get everyone back into it again. So there's a few people that train. Chi Chi is one of them, who's at the my division. So we
Okay.
try to train when we can, but yeah, I love
Yeah.
it. I can't get enough.
We've mentioned it in the last like few podcasts with the other police officers too. It's like, you know, you the perception, like at least with us, like who are friends and we see a lot of guys who are cops, whatever, but there's not that many when you think about the proportion. I was talking with Christian Kipp
Oh
about
no.
this. You know, it's like you got
Yeah.
like how many police officers in the Toronto, you know, police service? It's like
Yeah.
how
It's
many?
about 4 to 5,000, yeah.
That's a lot, right? And out of four
Yeah.
to 5,000, what do you have? Like not even 1% train, you know, jujitsu.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I highballing maybe 100.
Yeah,
Right?
it's not
That's
good.
just me. Yeah, it's not.
When you think about like what are you doing all day, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know that like I mentioned this before, like in another episode, like that when Joel had started doing the combatives program, I know there was interest from the York police force, right?
Yes.
To do this pilot program. I don't know if anything ever happened because it didn't start, at least while I was there. But he was talking with the superintendent there, and they were like, "Oh, you know, we're going to try to do like this kind of pilot program where we'll put some police officers through it, and then if it works out, we'll make it like a almost like a mandatory thing, at least like an introduction. It won't be like
Yeah.
impossible to get all the officers to train on a regular basis because you've got so many
Yeah.
things to do, right? And it's hard and takes
Yeah.
so much time, but at
Sure.
least,
And it, yeah.
yeah,
The I know there's a few sessions that he had done. I don't know if it's still ongoing. I don't know, but
yeah."
who knows, but
Yeah, and it never, I don't know what happened. Like, I don't know if it's still in the works. You know how these things are. It's also political, right? So it's like they say you're going to do one thing, then you're waiting for funding, you're waiting for this, you're waiting for that, and maybe go falls through. Who knows, right?
yeah.
But it's a good idea, at least to do some kind of
Yeah.
at least basic seminars, an
Yeah.
introduction.
Yeah, no, for sure. The thing is, it's like, I mean, we train once a year and it's not enough, right? Like so we have a 3 day training period. So we're shooting, we're doing scenarios and all that stuff, right? So it's 3 days, right? And we train maybe an hour. I'm pushing it, but probably less than that. An hour of like hands-on, you know, control on suspects and stuff like that, right? Punching the pads and, you know, rolling all that stuff. 1 hour out of the whole year is not enough, right? And I remember one instructor, like we're kind of giggling because it's like, you know, a lot of senior officers and stuff like that, and we're just like, you know, guys who've been on like 15 plus years, and the instructor kind of got mad because he wanted us to be more serious, right? And he's like, if you guys don't want to take this serious, you know, you guys can leave, right? And I didn't say I felt like saying it because it's like, who else trains? Because I know no one else did. I was probably the only one. And I felt like saying, well, it looks like I'm the only one who takes this serious, right? Kind of thing. But that's the frustrating part.
Sure.
I keep pushing for people more and more. And I had one officer who didn't want to train. Wasn't negative about it, just didn't feel like she needed it. Until a suspect escaped her custody. The next day, she's like, we need to train. I'm like, yep. So I think they need that reality check, right? So back to the training once a year for an hour, I think that because they feel like, you know, I don't need it because I hardly get into it. I was like, yeah, but you have to train for that one time, right? So that's the way I see it.
That's crazy that it's only once a year. And don't tell me that's like, is that only, that's not just like combat training. Like, is that like
Yeah.
total training? Like for
Yeah.
everything, shooting as well?
No. Shooting, no. The shooting, so shooting usually takes an afternoon or a morning portion, so a few hours. But just the actual hands-on, like we train more with the shooting, which I get, it's important, right? But how often are officers, shooting people, right? So we
Well,
should be training more the hands-on, or at least even 50-50, right? So first, the first half of the day, hands-on training, the other second half, at least that. But the thing is, one day a year is not enough, right? So
100%. Yeah. I get it. They're overworked. I get it. Everyone's working. It's very hard to kind of like work this kind of stuff in. But like once a year, it's not a lot.
yeah, 100. The thing is, they allow on Sundays, they allow and th Sundays and Thursdays, they allow training for jiu-jitsu, so people can come in from anywhere around the city or GTA, come in for free and learn from, black belts who are also, officers on the job, right? And, they try to push more towards like police orientated stuff, but sometimes there's always rolling. I mean, if you're good at jiu-jitsu, it doesn't have to be specifically police orientated, you're just good at jiu-jitsu, right? So
Sure. Nice. So, how is that? So I haven't seen you in a while, because ever since you moved back up, like, closer to Maple or whatever. So like how has it been? Actually, you know what? No, before I ask that question, question about Amanda. So Amanda's also a police officer, your wife.
yes.
Yeah, but she wasn't military. She just was a police officer, right?
No. Yeah, she's a police officer, yeah.
And how long was she around the same time she got involved with that, or afterwards?
And with jiu-jitsu or policing?
So policing first, then jujitsu.
The policing, she got basically she joined, oh, she's been doing it for about 11 years now.
Wow.
So 2014 ish, and she's been no, she's been loving it. I mean, she's, always happy, go lucky, positive, right? Bring a smile to people's faces and stuff.
Yeah, she's
But
very
there's,
amazing
yeah,
person.
but she's, yeah, exactly. And like, she's been in a lot of tussles, and a lot of male officers would rather have her compared to other male officers. So as partners, right? We get partnered up with males or females, and because Amanda's willing to, sounds negative, but get their hands dirty where you have to, down and fight, she's more than willing to do it, as opposed to some male officers who don't want to, right? So she's really good in that aspect. So a lot of male officers would rather have work with her, right? Because she has no problem having to, go that route if we have to, right?
Nice. Nice. And jiu-jitsu, when did she start?
She started jiu-jitsu in, I believe it's 2019.
Okay. Same time I did.
Yeah, because I, yeah, about yeah, about that time, because she took some time off because she was pregnant and then recovery and all that stuff. So I think around that time. And then same thing, like we try to work. We have afternoon classes, so we try to go in that during that time. So take advantage of it when we can. And she's always like, no. Sometimes we'll play around with it in front of the kids, right? Kind of thing, right? But so it's always good, all in good fun. But when we get to the mats, and all we do is just, have fun and stuff like that. And I try to go a lot more harder on her because,
That's nice.
if I can go, I have to, because it's like, if I can go, I don't, pummel her or anything like that, but it's like, this is what the reality is of someone who's going to hurt you could do, right? Kind of thing, right? So things like that, right? But she's improving a lot. There's some things like some things I let her, get away with, right? Or she'll sweep me or whatever. But then some things, like she caught me off guard, so she's improving a lot too, which is amazing to hear and or see, I should say.
She's still a blue belt, correct?
Yeah, blue, I think two or three stripes.
Nice. Yeah, I almost had her at the bunker tournament last year, but then something happened and she couldn't. I think you guys were teaching
Yeah.
something or something was going on.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
maybe this year, maybe she can get into the
Yeah.
fifth division and kick some ass. I hope. It's
Yeah.
hard to get time off work, I get it.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to have both of you if it's possible, but
Yeah.
we'll see what happens. December 14th, put in your calendar. Maybe
December 14th.
you'll be sick that day. I was talking to Phil today, we were training in the morning,
Yeah.
Phil Kress, Phil? Nice. So
Oh, I know Phil. Yeah.
yeah. So Phil's a JT6 as well, right? So we were training like at 6 a.m. this morning, and he's like, yeah, I'll be sick on December 14th. It's like, I'll be there. I'm like, yeah, it's still, I go, it's a blue belt tournament. You're still a blue belt. You gotta jump in there. 'Cause he was like,
Yeah, he gave me.
yeah, go
Sorry,
on.
I was gonna say he gave me my first rib injury.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. He's having a private with Joel, and Joel asked me to kind of, help out. I'm like, sure. And then we're rolling. I think I submitted him for the first whatever 5 minutes, whatever it was. And then we're rolling again. And then like he landed right on my ribs. Right? I was like, oh. And I was like, I had just left work during my lunch period to go, help out with Joel. And then all of a sudden, I was like, damn it. So I took a quick shower because I know before the endorphins kick in and I can't move anymore. And then I rushed to work. I'm like, I gotta go home sick. So. But yeah, I know Phil.
Yeah, I know. He feels much better. That was a lot,
Yeah, he was a wipe out the time, right? So
yeah, of
yeah, I get it.
course. This is the and he's also like super athletic. Hey, there's a reason why we
Oh
call him
yeah,
CrossFit Phil.
beast.
And
Yeah.
he's a beast, but he's also gotten much better, and he's like his roles have gotten better, and he's flowing and things like that.
Yeah.
And I'll be happy to he'll be happy to hear that when he listens to this episode. Yeah, no, he's and I think I and I and I met all you guys like around the same time. Like even Amanda, like I think I met her at Rev. That was like right before COVID hit, because that's when
Yeah.
I started like in November 2019. And they had, if you remember, they had them right then, right before COVID, there was a female class. Like Joanna Shamo was teaching it. I don't know if you remember Joanna.
Yeah.
She was a
Yep.
purple
Yep.
belt at the time. And she had started this, Joel had given her this class, I think, on Sundays. And it was big. There
Yeah.
was like a lot of women and
Yeah.
training at that time before COVID. And then COVID destroyed everything, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Amanda was in that. So I remember meeting her then. And then, of course, after COVID, we all continued to, we trained quite a bit. But yeah, no, I'm glad that she's still doing it with you. I think she trained a little bit at Vaughn too. No, I think.
Yeah, she was at Von PJ with Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, with Mike Aviato, yeah, professor.
Yeah, Aviano is a savage. Oh
Yeah,
man, that guy's man, he's like dynamite.
he's intense.
Yeah. But yeah, but like great sense of humor too, right? Always joking, right? But he was like, yeah, when he was with Joel, Mike, I learned so much from him as well, right? He's a great instructor, right?
Yes.
Just makes things look so easy. And like, yeah, it is that easy. And you just try it, right? But yeah, she went to Vaughn. And then it was the thing was this travel because we're in Aurora. It's just the travel time's like 30 minutes, but it's like 30 minutes plus an hour and a half, and then 30 minutes both ways. So it's an hour, and it's just like I have young kids. So when I found about 9:05 in Aurora,
Yeah.
5 minutes from the house, it's like it's hard to say no to that, right? So you want to spend time with the kids, especially when they're young, right?
Well, 100%. Yeah. And with your schedules being crazy, like when you're doing shifts,
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how you guys do it. Like both being police officers, like it's just, how do you even juggle the children?
You know what? Yeah, it's the lunch hours where it's like at noon we can train. So while the kids are in daycare and school, we can go and train. Do that for an hour and a half, and then head home, finish whatever we have to do, and pick up the kids and go from there, and then spend the day with them, right? And then our shifts are 7 on, 7 off. So we try to train at work, but when we can, so it's like our lunch period kind of thing. So.
Sure.
It's just when we can. We'll try to find time, essentially, right?
100%. So you're gonna put the kids in when they are they
Oh
in?
yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. Like
That's
my daughter, I mean, my son's turning 4 soon. My daughter's 7, and she says she wants to be a police officer, even though we told her no. But I said, if you want to be one, you have to change jujitsu or else no. So I said
well,
that's the ultimatum. So
she's more than
we'll
old
see what
enough now.
happens. She won hopefully September. Oh
Sure.
yeah, absolutely,
Nice.
yeah.
Very nice, very nice. So I guess what is because a lot of people like they send me questions now. Apparently that's a thing. So people send me questions like ask your guest this, right? So one of the questions that people send me is what is your favorite I don't want to say position technique or what do you like to play? Like what's your favorite game, I guess you could say in jiu-jitsu.
My favorite game is position over submission. So I try to yeah, as much as it's nice to get someone to tap and stuff like that, if I'm able to control you without you trying to get out of whatever box I have you in, I think that's domination, right? So there's when you're rolling with a higher belt and you're trying to throw everything at them and there's nothing's working, to me that's that is like a form of submission because it's like, I'm throwing everything I have and it's not even working, right? So that's what I like to play. If a submission pops up, they'll take advantage of it. Competition obviously is different, right? You want to win, obviously, right? But I think if like while I'm rolling, if I can just control someone, I play a high defensive game. So you know, sometimes I'll put myself to a really bad situation and see if I can get out of there, right? I think Hensel Gracie talks about how he does the same thing. And I think it's really good because if your defense is really high, you can take those chances, right? So, sure. I mean, I work, there was a black belt I was trading with, Manny Jamal. He's at Grapple Lab. And I learned so much from him for like 2 years. You know, I was rolling with him every day at work pretty much. And I throw everything at him, nothing happened. But I noticed when I roll with everyone else, my defense was really good. And Arthur, I remember once I was rolling with Arthur, he's a savage. For 15 minutes, he was trying to submit me and nothing worked on him. And he's like, what the hell's going on, right? But because I was so used to getting submitted by other black belts, my defensive game became really good, right? So that's when I started to notice that, wow, I have something here, right? So I take chances, I have no problem, right? I have no problem submitting to a white belt. Like I put myself in a really bad position to try to get out. If they get me, they get me. Like, sure. Let's roll again kind of thing, right? So that's the kind of the atmosphere I like to bring. Leave the, you know, ego's not your amigo, right? So leave the ego at the door. I'm here to learn, right? So
ego's not your amigo, says the dirty Mexican.
that's what I mean. It couldn't be any more clear because there's guys come in with ego and then they get destroyed and they're like, you know, they blame everything else other than themselves, right? So
100%. Yeah, well, that's good. You know what? It's funny because like you say that and like I know exactly why you prefer this kind of game because of your profession,
right? Like, exactly.
Because that's what you need to play in real life. Like you're not
right.
You're control like you know what's the word. Perpetrator? I don't know.
Yeah. Suspect. Yeah. Like I'm not trying to submit them. I'm not trying to choke them out or anything like that.
Yeah, you're not
right. Because then it's a big investigation on me, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's right, right? So all you're doing
I can just contain them.
Yeah, you're in this box and you can't go out. You need to stay here. Right?
That's it. Control. That's it.
It's control all the time and until help comes or until you get them in the car or until, you know.
Or until they get tired and it's like, okay, I give up. I'm like, okay, let's go. Right. That's it, right? And that's the benefit of jiu-jitsu where a lot of people get into a fight and it's like 30 seconds. They have 30 seconds in their gas tank and that's it. With jiu-jitsu, you got another, you know, 5 minutes of rolling, right? So you learn how to basically put yourself at a high pressure situation and learn to relax more, right? So
sure,
that's what I prefer, right? But the biggest thing is like I know it's too with mental health, right? The benefits of jiu-jitsu with mental health is incredible. Like I could have a bad day with, you know, obviously people, the public always yelling at us for whatever nonsense, but you know, you can come home and train, and then you forgot about exactly what, you know, you're upset about, right? So it's so good with mental health as well. I think more and more people need to do it, not just for obviously physical fitness, but just for mental health benefits, right? So
100%.
I think more and more in that, right? So,
well, this is why I use it, at least, you know, that's why I wrote the book. You know, it's like it's all this stuff going on, all the stress, right? And it's like, it's a way to kind of manage all that away, right? And it really helps. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, there's
absolutely because it's like, sorry, go ahead. No, okay. Sorry, there's like a delay, so that's why. Sorry,
all right, so you go on.
So, I was gonna say the benefits of like, you can have whatever, you know, I gotta pay the bills, I gotta take the kids, I gotta do this, that, and the other. And then meanwhile, you're at the mats, and it's like, this person's about to choke me, I can't focus on that right now because I'm gonna die, right? So, you have it forces you to focus on that one thing, right? So, it's got a bit of a mental clarity, right? Aspect,
yeah. That's exactly, yeah. It forced, you have to clear your mind because you can't, you can't have all those other things. You could, but then you're going to suck. Yeah. Like if your mind is cluttered, then before you know it, you'll be choked out and you're like, then you get frustrated because you're not even focusing on your game. Right. So it really forces you. They've been doing a lot of like work on this now. Like there's a good book out there that came out a couple of years ago. What's the name of it? I have it too. It's like, it's about using jiu-jitsu for therapy for PTSD, right?
Nice.
I forget what it's. I'll send it to you. Like I'll post it in the thing too. But like, it's really really good. I read it like a year and a half ago, and it's basically like this one black belt who's working in the States, and they're basically it's trauma therapy through jiu-jitsu and embodiment, right? So especially with women, but not limited to, right? And it's like they're doing a lot of research on this now where women who have gone through abuse, women like physical abuse, things like that, these problems, and how jiu-jitsu helps them, like it's exposure therapy.
Yeah.
But in a safe environment, obviously, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, to help them get over, but also to empower, right?
Empower, that's the right word, man. That's exactly it, right? because you have to control. Like a lot of people are play the victim mentality, right? It's like what happened to you sucks, no doubt. But I mean, what are you gonna do about it now? Now you have to don't let it control you. You have to let it control it, right? It's like the there's that the quote or the example of like heroes and villains all share the same backstory. It's pain. The villain. The villain says, "The world did this to me. I'm gonna do it to it." The hero says, "The world did this to me. I'm gonna make sure it doesn't happen to anyone else." Heroes use pain. Villains are used by it, right? So the best thing to do is just like, okay, you've had this incident happen. Whatever it is, what are you gonna do about it? You have to conquer it. Don't let it conquer you. Right.
100%. Yeah, and the nature of jiu-jitsu, because it's so similar to like a lot of situations of domestic abuse, right? Because like
Yeah.
it,
Yeah.
what are the most common experiences of domestic abuse, whether it be male or female? Obviously, okay, most of the time
Sure.
it's female violence, right? But it's like choking, right?
Yeah,
Joining the
yeah, yeah.
guy, right? So it's these
For
exact positions
sure.
that trigger people, right?
Yeah.
And the beauty of it is that, yeah, it's terrifying, but it gives you the solutions to the greatest fear. So it's like,
Yes.
okay, this is happening to me right now. I can't breathe because I'm having a panic attack because I was choked before, for example, in a bad situation. But
Right, right.
this is how I have the key, like you said, the superpower to get out of
Yeah.
this situation. So it
Exactly.
no controls me anymore, right?
Absolutely. But it's like it helps dilute the incident too, right? I mean, it sounds bad to say, but it's like, you know, I grew up in an environment where there's a lot of shootings, right? And you bring someone who wasn't grown up in that environment, and when they hear a shooting, they'll freak out, right? On average, right? To me, it's just like, yeah, okay, that's a shooting. Like I just, you know, I'm numb to it, right? If you same situation, like you said, right? You put in the situation where it's like, you know, where they've been put in. Where they're constantly put in this situation where it dilutes it and where it's like they're so used to it, but now they know how to escape from it. Now they know how to deal with it when that, you know, when that triggers them again, right? Now they know how to go through it, right? So that's, I think that's another benefit, right?
And you understand it, like, because you know
Right, exactly.
you explored it. You mentioned shooting too, same thing. It's like, you know, we of course we have the amazing thing in Canada where everybody's afraid of guns, right? And it's like that's
Yeah.
also because, without getting political, right?
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
it is, though. It's the fear of the thing. If you've never handled one, you've never trained with one, you've never learned
Right.
safety, you've never done
Yeah.
all those things, right? As far as like shooting goes. But then people who have gone through those things, they're no longer afraid.
Yeah, exactly, right?
They're no
And
longer afraid of it.
it's interesting because it's like I coming back from overseas, I was like as far as I know, I was the only one that wasn't suffering from any PTSD. And I thought it's because I was so messed up that, you know, you got this, you know, am I like this Hannibal Lecter kind of person kind of thing, right? But a lot of the guys where I guess we're just new to it, but because I grew up in that environment, I guess it helped deal with situations like shootings and seeing violence and dead bodies and things like that. So that's my only thought process why I kind of, you know, I don't want to say I'm numb to it because who knows tomorrow what could happen, but it just, I guess it was a lot easier to deal with, right? So now it's just like my new like position in life is like, you know, I always want to become a cop to help people, but now it's my new goal is to help those who help others, right? So veterans, first responders, and things like that. So that's what I've pushed now too, right? So I'm a big advocate for mental health, especially men's mental health, things like that. So I'm always out to willing to help whoever needs it, right?
Exposure, like it, a lot of people, they're afraid of being exposed to like negative, anything negative, right? Today.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily a bad thing. It builds resilience, right? So
100%, yeah.
yes, people can be traumatized. As again,
Sure.
I don't like using these words because they become like loaded, you know,
Yeah.
political words or whatever. But yes, people can be traumatized. Let's say if they've never seen a dead body in their whole life, and then suddenly they see one.
Sure.
Or people, like, they've never heard a gunshot and suddenly they hear one, right? But being exposed to it incrementally, like you were,
Yes.
like slowly, like it wasn't like suddenly, okay, you were dropped into a war zone as a kid, for example, right? But slowly, then that actually built resilience within you, where it's
Right.
not that it's, you're desensitized to it, is you're just kind of like, okay, yeah, I'll be okay. You know, I've
Yeah.
experienced it before, right? People ask me this a lot, even as a priest, right? Because like most of the time we're dealing with trauma all the time. Like, you know, it's like,
Yeah.
what are we doing? We're going to hospitals when people are dying, when they're suffering.
Yeah.
We're there when they die. We see a lot of horrible stuff too, right? Like, you know, at the end, who are you calling? The priest, right?
Yeah.
And so, or ring, ring, I want to kill myself. Can you talk to me? You know, all these things that are happening, right? And so people say, oh, are you not traumatized by this? Are you not like, do you not have like PTSD? Because some priests do. A lot of like people, ministry, you know, counselors, things like that. A lot of times they'll have what is called compassion fatigue, which is a form of PTSD. But I don't have any of that, which is weird. Like I don't, maybe I compartmentalize really well. Maybe I just handle it really well. Or maybe doing this for 19 years, right? It's like slow exposure where you just have a different outlook on life. It's just part of life. So why be afraid of it? Right.
Yeah. And that's just it. Yeah. I have that. It is what it is. Right. That's reality. Yeah. You know, like I want world peace too. You know, I don't want, you know, I hate wars and like, and that's the thing too. It's like, after being in war, you kind of enjoy peace, you know, and that's all I want. I want a cabin in the middle of nowhere. That's where I want to live because I just want peace, right?
Yeah.
You know, in order to understand love, you have to understand hatred. Like, you have to know the duality, right? Which is, like, why, you know, the whole thing with, like, the two wolves, you know, story, right? And it's just like, yeah, like, if you're helping feed one, you're not going to feed the other, right? So you have to help feed the positive one and kind of realize, hey, people just live this life and you have to learn to push through it, right? And understand, hey, sometimes it is what it is, right?
And there are, yeah, and there are consequences to everything. Like for you to enjoy the cabin, sure, because you've done both, right? So like, you can understand, like for you to enjoy the cabin, whatever, or the getaway, whatever, somebody else is doing the hard thing to keep you, to have that freedom, right?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
That as well.
Yeah.
Or you should. People don't.
Yeah, no.
But in Canada, well, not as much.
Until it's like, gone, then they learn to appreciate it, right?
Yeah. Fine, we have a culture here, like in Canada. It's like, I see, like, if I talk to a police officer, I talk to somebody from the military, I'll tell them thank you for your service, and they look at me in a strange way because they never hear that in Canada.
Yeah, it's where
nobody, I hate to say this, it's just, but nobody says it to
you.
Nobody appreciates.
They hate us until they need us. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which we're in the States. Like I was in the States for 2 years, right? I was near New York with my master's, and like different culture. They highly respect their military. They highly respect their police officers, right? Yeah. Okay, contrary to what you see on the news, whatever. Like most people, they really, really respect, right? And so they'll say it on the street. They see somebody, they're gonna thank them because they understand, or it's part of their culture to understand the risk that people take just so you can have that cabin or you can walk down the street.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. Right? And and that's the thing too. It's like, I mean, you have to think of it as like, it's a thankless job. I didn't sign up, you know, in hopes to get a parade. Right. So I do it for the cause and not for the
applause. You ain't going to get in Canada.
Exactly. Right. So I mean, it's nice to get that, you know, thank you for your service and things like that. People buying us coffee or a meal, whatever. It's greatly appreciated, not necessary. But it's those one things like, okay, you know, people out there still do appreciate us, right? So things like that happens, right? So
sure,
it's nice to have, right? Absolutely, right?
100%, 100%. Well, as a final question, because we are coming up to like, we've already been talking for 45 minutes, my friend.
Oh, nice.
Time flies, you know, when you're sitting in a car trying to
have it. I was going to get to my ayahuasca, but no, it's okay.
You should have taken that before the interview.
Yeah, exactly, right?
That would have been a different experience altogether. So I guess like for going back to kind of jiu-jitsu and kind of wrapping it up, where do you, like, I know you say you love it, you're addicted, you want to do this forever. I think most of us would be in that thing, but anything that you're kind of looking forward to in the near future, like for example, like in your jiu-jitsu journey, like are you planning on maybe doing some competitions, maybe trying something different, like anything like that?
I've done a few competitions. I won some, I lost some. The ones I've lost, I'd be on my phone looking to the next one I can sign up for because it's just so much fun, right? Like win or lose, I'm just in it for the experience. I like back to the whole therapeutic thing. Like I have a new business that I'm coming up with where ideally the end goal is to basically have cabins in the woods and basically train in the, you know, your cell phone doesn't work there. That's right. Put it away, focus on you, kind of therapy and like train. Right. Amongst other things we can do there as well. Right.
Retreat.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And I think there needs to be more and more of that. People are so dwell into social media and what other people care about me. It's like, you're not focused on you. I think there needs to be more of that. So, I had my soft opening in last month, and it's been successful. So my end goal is to basically do more and more of that, where guys can, you know, bring out the mats and let's just roll. And then when you're done rolling, you know, jump into the lake, right? And then sit by the fire, have some food, talk amongst yourselves, and kind of open up about whatever, right? But life and laughs and things like that, because I think there needs to be more than that. There's social media's done a great job in communicating with people across the world, but we're not talking to the ones next to us, right?
Sure.
So I think there needs to be more and more of that, which will help with it, because like mental health is on the increase, right? Ever since social media, right? So I think there needs to be more of that. So kind of the escape needs to happen more often.
So do you have a location where you're doing this?
Well, yes and no. So Crown Land is where I basically go. And I basically provide the food, water, shelter, and transportation. Just bring your clothes. It's like an all-inclusive camping trip, basically, right?
Cool.
And then just kind of go from there, right? So, yeah, food, like everything, just food. And the people, like you know, they want to chop wood if you want, right? It's good for mental health, as funny as it sounds, right? It's good for you, right?
Yeah,
exercise, right? And then, like, you're not on your phone. Like, yeah, you don't care. Like, you'll go on it, and there's no reception. Or you'll go on it until the phone dies, and then guess what? Battery's dead. Now you're going to spend the rest of the weekend without a phone. And you're going to have to realize, like, oh, wow, this is how my ancestors lived, right? Kind of thing, right? So you learn to appreciate things like that, right? There's no running water, right? So you learn you have to boil water, right? So there's that appreciation for everything, right? So I think there needs to be more and more of that. So that's my goal right now, right? So I'm kind of, I got potentially 10 more years left of my job. So my end goal is kind of after post-retirement, kind of do that, right? So
nice. And jiu-jitsu, of course, up there. Right.
Oh no, 100%. Always.
That's cool, man. Like that's got me thinking, man. I gotta come and partake, maybe. You know, like
I'll send you the link.
Yeah, that sounds great. If we can promote it in any way possible, I think these are the kind of things that, you know, at least from the bunker point of view, like that's right within our wheelhouse of things that we want to promote. Right.
For sure. Yeah.
Mental health, like being well, community. Right.
Yeah.
Good, close, organic connections with people, right? That's what it is. That's what we were doing during COVID in the bunker. That's the whole reason. So we got to talk to human beings, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And hang out and not look at stupid screens all day, right?
Yeah, 100%, man.
Yeah, that's exciting, man. Good for you, and I wish you success in that, because that sounds like it sounds like a good endeavor. And if there's any way that I can help and promote it, I will. I'm on board.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, Jose, thank you very much. Like, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know it was like last minute. It's like I messaged you like, oh, let's do it today. I'm like, okay, let's put the on. Why not? Right. It's hard to schedule, right? So I really appreciate you taking the time. And again, I appreciate everything you do for the community.
Thank you.
And for all of us, and your wife as well. And give my love to your wife and your kids. Cool. And hopefully we'll see each other on the mat sometime soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Cheers, man.
Yeah, thank you everybody for listening, and we'll see everybody in a couple of weeks. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Bunker Jiu-Jitsu podcast. Feel free to follow us on Instagram and YouTube. And if you want to reach out with any questions or if you're interested in being on the show, feel free to email us at bunkerjiu-jitsu@gmail.com. Thanks and take care.